Brothers and sisters, we were conceived and born in darkness. Because of the enslavement of the human race in the fall, every human being begins life in darkness. It is only the life-giving love of Jesus Christ who can bring us from darkness into His marvelous light. So let's go to Him, confessing our great need for Him by praying the prayer of confession from Psalm 31. Will you pray with me? In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Make Your face to shine upon Your servant. Save me in Your loving kindness. O love the Lord, all you His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Promise of comfort and forgiveness is taken from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 25. Isaiah 42. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise to the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim His praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over His enemies. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make this rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are our gods," will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. You please the Lord, for the sake of His righteousness, to make His law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot, with no one to say, "Send them back." Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow His ways. They did not obey His law. So He poured out on them His burning anger, the violence of war, and enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. The congregation, please rise for the assurance of pardon. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the world lives in darkness. The Lord shines His light upon sin to remove the darkness so we're able to see and we are able to live. And we are to go forth shining the love and the light of God before others, so they may turn and glorify God themselves. But we do not create light ourselves. We draw light from the source of all light, that is the Lord our God. As you've confessed your sins, know that God's light penetrates the darkness in you, in your lives. Go and shine that life-giving light before others, trusting in His ever-present love to guide you in all things. And all God's people said, Amen. And now, like the Lord shouts with the battle cry to triumph over His enemies, let us shout praises to Him for His salvation. God's will for life this morning is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. Shining your light before others is abiding in Christ and keeping His commandments. And this is how we are to live. Luke 8:16 to 21. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray and ask for the Spirit's blessing upon the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? Lord, we beseech Thee, grant Thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and pure minds to follow Thee, the only God. We thank You for Your grace in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we can respond to Your grace with thanksgiving and with loving obedience. Speak to us now, O Lord. Open us up to Your truth, that we may delight in You and delight in obeying You, shining Your light in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear with our ears, to increase in our knowledge of God, we're also to increase in our hearts and our love for Him. So let us stand together, praising Him, preparing to hear in faith and in love. Our sermon text this morning is from the first epistle of John, chapter 1, into chapter 2, verse 11. We have just completed Jonah last week, and we start a sermon series on 1 John this morning. 1 John 1, verse 1. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith, and do not harden your hearts. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which is with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in Lord Jesus Christ, we are well into that time of year where our exposure to the sun is diminishing greatly. Now, this has technically been the case since June, but when autumn hits, we notice it much more. Darkness comes sooner in the evening, and summer is clearly over. For many, this is kind of a bummer. We like our long summer days extended into the evenings. We like to look to the west and still see the sun in the sky at 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. And when the days begin to shorten and darkness begins to creep into our days, we are saddened at the reality of fall and upcoming winter, where we have more darkness and less light. Now, we tend to view darkness negatively. We don't necessarily view darkness as evil, though we are aware that there's not much good that happens out when it's dark. On the other hand, we love lights. A rising sun is the beginning of a new day of opportunities, a new day to enjoy creation, and a new day to serve our Lord. We know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And within those heavens and earth was darkness. There was no sin yet when God created the heavens and the earth. So the existence of darkness wasn't a bad or evil thing. Darkness just wasn't the ideal. It was perfection, but not ideal. God, who makes things better, spoke light into creation on that first day. From God's word, light came into the world. And each following day of the first creation week, each day began with darkness. And then came light. Each time, God declared it good. And the Lord set the pattern for his work through history. Darkness, then light. Darkness, then things will get better with light. We see this pattern each day in our own lives. The Lord told his people in the Old Covenant that the new day begins at nightfall. Sunset. Darkness, then light. In a way, we see this progression. Everything gets better in the morning when the sun rises and shines upon creation. And we can see God's glorious creation even better. His light shines and helps us see. Now, as we begin our study of 1 John, we see in this first chapter, this first section of our sermon text, we hear about this dynamic with darkness and light. The Apostle John writes in verses 5 through 7, "This is the message we've heard from him, that is Jesus Christ. This is the message, and we declare it to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, because God is light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us, cleanses us from all sin." So the Apostle John here is saying darkness, then light. He contrasts it all the way back to the beginning. And you know, in the beginning, Genesis 1, darkness wasn't sin. It was just the absence of light. But you'll notice that John is comparing darkness to sin. Because the light of Christ purifies us from that sin, from that darkness. So I ask you to consider, as we read 1 John, is darkness merely the absence of light, as it was in creation, before sin? Or is darkness sin? You'd be surprised to find out that it's actually both. Because of the fall, God's perfect creation was changed, including darkness. Now, as we read Scripture, we read of darkness. Darkness is associated with sin. Satan is called darkness. When sin entered the world in the fall, Satan ruled over all those who were enslaved to sin. And those who were enslaved lived in darkness. And this wasn't limited to individual people. It wasn't even limited to individual nations. All of creation was considered in darkness because of the fall. And we read Romans, and Paul writes about creation was subjected to futility, and creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption, to the freedom of the glory of God. That's what he's talking about. Creation was in darkness. It was though after the fall, God just turned off the lights. No more light. Everything's in darkness. And not only human beings were blinded by sin, unable to see or do anything right apart from the grace of God, but creation didn't work right either. It was though the whole world was solar powered. And when sin came into the world, we had a solar eclipse. But the world had to keep chugging along without the energy, without the juice, in darkness. When God created the heavens and the earth in that first week, he created a beautiful creation, a musical symphony to play for his glory. And even darkness had a part to play, a contrast to the light. But then sin came in, and sin cut all the little violin strings. Sin rusted out all the brass instruments. Sin punched holes through all the drums. Everything beautiful and glorious that the Lord made was affected. Even humans and even creation. And that's where John is taking us in this first chapter. He's taking us back to creation. If you remember John 1:1, that famous verse. Where does John start with his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John starts his gospel in the beginning with the incarnation, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But he begins his first epistle the same way. That which was from the beginning, concerning the Word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it and testified it. John starts his gospel in the beginning. He starts his epistle in the beginning. He starts his gospel with the incarnation. He starts his epistle with the incarnation. He's testifying to the Son of God as the most important person in history, and the incarnation as the most important event in history, his coming into the world, bringing grace and truth. And this grace and truth has implications that take us all the way back to Genesis 1. With that, can I have the children come forward for the children's message, please? Can you see your eyes on me, please? Good job. Boys, can you see your eyes? Good job. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
who can raise their hand and tell me, what have I been talking about in the first half of the sermon? Three, four hands. That's pretty good. Five?
Six.
Micah, what have I been talking about? Five. You're the sixth person. Hessel, what have I been talking about?
Light and darkness.
Light and darkness. Okay. Is that what you're going to say too? Okay, who can raise their hand and tell me who is light? Aubrey, who's light? God is light. Absolutely. 1 John 1 says, God is light. And who can raise their hand and tell me, who do we think about when we think about darkness? Lee? Satan. Some call him the prince of darkness. Now, raise your hand if you have a nightlight in your bedroom. Okay. Most of you have a nightlight in your bedroom. Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me, Why do we put night lights in our bedroom? Grace? So it's not dark. And Dean, when do we usually have our night lights on?
At night.
At night. And what are we doing in our bedrooms at night?
Reading.
Good boy. Good boy. Who can raise their hand and tell me what else do we do in our bedrooms at night after we read and get a little fatigued? Okay. You sleep in your beds at night. Raise your hand if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night. Okay. Most, if not all of you. Okay. Hands down. Now, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're kind of groggy. You're a little confused about where you are. Thumbs up if it's good. Thumbs down if it's bad. Is it good to have a nightlight in there to kind of help you see what's going on? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Bad thing? You're just being contrary. It's a good thing. Because you're a little confused. You can put your hands down about what's going on. And that nightlight, can I see your eyes up here? That nightlight shines on your room so you can see where you are. When you go outside at night, it's nice to have a yard light or a flashlight to see where you're going. Now, do you need light during the day like right now? No, because you can see everything. Okay? Can you see your eyes on me? Now, Aubrey correctly said that God is light. And Jesus Christ shines His light on us. He helps us see. He helps us live. He helps us see where we're going. And He also shows us the sin in our lives and how we can live better for Him and how we can walk in His path. Okay? So light is good. Darkness is bad. Follow Jesus, who is the light. Will you pray with me, please? Sit up, please. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven,
thank you
for saving us
in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord,
for your light
that shines for us
to help us live
and glorify you.
Help us, Lord,
by your Spirit
to shine our light
before others,
so that they
may glorify you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right, good job. You get back to your seats. All right. So review where we are right now. The Apostle John brings us back to Genesis 1, back to creation in the beginning. He contrasts the opposites of darkness and light. But in this, he connects the light to God, and he connects the darkness to sin. Now, where is he going with this? Why bring us back to creation, John? Why do you do this in your gospel, and why do you do this in this first epistle? He does this because the darkness is coming to an end. Not the existence of darkness, as we just discussed with the kids. Darkness still is. There's still darkness. But the hold that darkness has over creation and over mankind was coming to an end when John was writing in the first century. Satan, called the prince and ruler of this world, and he ruled over the demons and evil forces of darkness in this world. John pointed out that Jesus, the light of the world, who shines in darkness, was putting an end to Satan. When John wrote this, in the first century, Satan's run, his rule over creation, was coming to an end. The advent of the Son of God, his incarnation, was to shine light into a dark world. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13, "The night is almost gone. The day is here." Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came to shine his light upon Israel, to turn them from darkness to light. But in the darkness of their sin, they rejected him. And so he was crucified for our sins. And when he died on that cross, Jerusalem grew dark. But on the third day, as the sun rose on the first day of the week, Jesus rose victoriously, clothed in white, shining like the sun. And when he ascended to heaven, he sits victorious on his throne and ruler now over this creation. Satan is no longer ruler of this world. Jesus Christ is. And if Jesus Christ is the ascended king with all authority in heaven and earth, then Satan is not. If Jesus Christ shines his glorious light upon creation, then darkness no longer rules. And if darkness no longer rules, then we no longer live in the night of creation. We live in the light of day. John tells us here that the light of God is the Word who took on flesh. And Jesus Christ came. As he was there in the beginning, he came to start a new creation. The new creation is no longer ruled by the sun and moon. It is ruled by the Son of God. And his new creation has new people, new human beings, who have been raised from the darkness of sin to live in the light of a new life. And we only get our light from the source of light that is God himself. And we only get our new life from the cleansing power of the Son of God, from the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, the Lord would have us hear from this passage that he has ushered in a new start. He's ushered in a new creation. The fall into sin, death, and darkness affected everything. So Jesus came to conquer sin, death, and darkness with his marvelous light. And for those in Christ, brothers and sisters, for those in Christ, a new creation exists. John wrote this to his first century readers, mainly Jews who had rejected Jesus. He encouraged the believers to continue to believe, to persevere, and he exhorted the Jews to repent and trust in Jesus, the Son of God. The old creation, that dark creation, was coming to a close. Satan was no longer in power. And the sign that Jesus promised of his ascending on the cloud revealed that a new creation was coming. For us, we take comfort in knowing that Jesus is king and he rules over everyone and everything. We take comfort in knowing that Satan no longer has us blinded. You were once blind, but now you can see. Because we've been baptized and set free from the devil's enslavement. But this new life, brothers and sisters, this new life doesn't end there. We need to live consistently of the new creation that we enjoy. We are to no longer live in darkness, as John exhorts us. We are to walk in the light. Those who walk in the light keep God's commands. If you say you are in Christ and you do not obey, you say that God's a liar. And this is the responsibility to live as the redeemed in Christ. We cannot be Christians in name only. We are Christians by how we live, by the fruit we produce, by the love we share, how we love God and love one another. And love is made complete by our love. The two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. This is love. Obeying God is love. Keeping his commandments toward him and our neighbor, that's love. Not warm fuzzies. Not worldly comfort, love is obeying God. And obeying God goes all the way back to the beginning. God required obedience from all His people. Even Jesus Christ had to obey the Father. The new aspect that John talks about, that he writes, is that in Jesus is a new commandment. We do this in Jesus, where we find life, love, and obedience. We cannot separate our obedience from our love for God. They go hand in hand. Love, obey, keep His word. And finally, John warns against the alternative. Verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates is the opposite of love. When God says love, He's telling you do not hate. And when He says do not hate, He's telling you love. Commandments have two sides. Anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Now first, John identifies the object of hate. Who's the object of hate? Your brother. Meaning, these are people in the kingdom. These are people in the church that you can hate. He's not talking to pagans here. He's talking to Christians. You can't hate your brother. If you think you're a Christian, you hate your brother, you're apart from Jesus. You are not living and walking in the light. You're back in darkness. You've gone back to darkness. You will have enslaved yourself to the evil one if you hate. Verse 11, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Still writing to Christians, but this is unbeliever descriptions here. This is unbeliever language. This is comparing Christians to wicked. The wicked we hear about such as Romans 1, where the wicked become futile in their thinking, their foolish hearts are darkened. John's saying, if you hate your brother, that's how you are living. And this is real. And this is scary stuff. This is where fellow Christians, fellow believers, brothers and sisters in the faith, they become so overcome by hate that they don't make any sense. They become insane. You talk to them. You try to love them. You try to make sense of them, but they're so overcome by the darkness of hate, they're irrational. They don't make sense. The Holy Spirit here is telling us that this happens. That this does happen to Christians. It happens to brothers and sisters. They blind themselves. They enslave themselves to the devil. And when this happens to brothers and sisters, when this happens to people in our family, we need to pray for their repentance. We should grieve when our brothers and sisters fall back into darkness. It is no light thing. And you know it, you can see the fruit. You can hear them talk. They sound insane. They bound themselves to the devil. And these are strong words and strong warnings from God. Because brothers and sisters, you have been saved. You are in the light. Abide in God. Remain in that light and walk in the love of God's commandments. And if you do, the darkness of the devil, he can't touch you. It's like you have a force field around you, a force field of light that evil cannot penetrate. So don't let him, because that's the only way it happens, is if we let him. And if we have brothers and sisters who are walking in darkness, pray for them. Remain in the light. Love one another. And the fellowship we enjoy with one another is the loving and gracious fellowship of the Godhead. In less than 10 minutes, you're going to go enjoy fellowship in the fellowship hall. The fellowship you enjoy in the love of Christ is the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we praise and thank you for your continued authority over our lives and your continued speaking to us in your new creation and in your word. We thank you for your divine truth and you're making it known to us by your Spirit.